Good evening. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Why don't everyone take a hymnal and turn over to page number 177. Let's all stand and sing, Are You Washed in the Blood? All right, everyone sing now. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Sing now. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? Blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? On the last, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? All right, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer tonight. Ask Him to be with us. Brother Alan Young, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord with us tonight. Would you go to the Lord in a word of prayer? Amen. Church, you can be seated. Choir, remain standing. Church, turn with me over to page 57 if you need it, and let's sing the first and the last of Amazing Grace. You can be seated. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord with us tonight. If you're visiting with us, you are a special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this evening. And please remember, I'll probably miss most of these, Pastor, but I'll try. I believe next Sunday evening is Trunk or Treat. Is that correct?
2 weeks.
2 weeks from tonight. Told you. That's why we leave the announcements up to you. 2 weeks from tonight. 5 o'clock, Trunk or Treat. So don't forget about that. And then I'm not even going to try to get to rest. He'll get him in a minute when he gets up here. We do have several prayer requests we need to also remember tonight, so please remember those from this morning. I don't know what happened to that good-looking crew I had up here this morning. Where did you guys come from? No, no, Dion, you stay. Stay, Dion. But it is, again, it's great to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Brother Brian, would you ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering?
Holy, holy, I searched for peace among the shadows dark and lonely. Gave up on finding that strong and lasting love. I tasted all the things that sin could think to offer me, but today I feast on manna from above.
He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here.
Every time I tried to make it on my own, every time I tried to stand and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For this man who needs amazing kind of grace, forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus.
There was Jesus.
In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus on the mountain, in the valleys.
There was Jesus
in the shadows of the alleys. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. No, never walk alone.
Never walk alone.
In the waiting, in the searching, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. There was Jesus.
Had a there was Jesus moment in your life. Circumstances, but there was Jesus. What a blessing. Listen, we're real people here tonight. We are humans and we face real Mondays, don't we? We face real Tuesdays and real weeks. And we are up against a whole lot, the flesh, the world, and the devil. But greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. What a blessing it is to be called a child of God. And those that are saved are adopted into the family of God. Everything that Jesus has, I have. Everything that Jesus has, you have if you belong to him. We have an inheritance uncorruptible that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. What a blessing it is to be part of the family of Almighty God. I do want to say thank you again for allowing me to be your pastor for 6 years, going on 7 years next January, and of course 8 years. I always say that. I have to add that on there. 8 years in total next January, July. I said January, I meant July. Next July will be 7 years as pastor, 8 years as member. And time is flying, but we really, really love you, appreciate you. Thank you for the gift, church, this morning. I appreciate Brother Brian, the years he's put in here way before we got here. The man wears a lot of hats. We love Brother Brian. He's working, and he's been working, 20-plus years at the children's home? More than 20, I think. Been a member here at the church and looking after the teenagers and all that he does. Him and Miss Melita, his helpmate, what a blessing she is. And the kids and the family, I just appreciate Brother Brian. And appreciate the deacons of the church and them supporting me since we've been here, and just growing together until Jesus comes. That's the best way I can put it. And we certainly love you, appreciate you. And, you know, I don't say this just to say it. I'm saying it because I mean it. You know, a lot of churches are dying off and closing up. But I will say that we have something special here. It's been here. It's been here for years, and we're keeping that fire going is what we want to do. And we want to keep that specialness here. The specialness of it is Jesus. And when he's high and lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. So we love you. So thankful to be able to stand twice today and preach. In just a moment, we will look at Mark 12 and verse number 30. You can go ahead and make your way there if you like. Follow on the screen or whatever you want to do that helps you learn the best. And while you're turning to Mark 12, 30, let me just mention a couple things. Outreach on Saturday the 26th. Trunk or treat Sunday the 27th. We need candy. Thank you for those who have donated candy in our beautiful bin over here. Beautiful, colorful candy bin. Sign-up sheets to decorate your trunk if you would like to do that. And so just remember all of those things. We've already heard it. Remember the hurricane victims all across the southeast, northeast area, mid-east. Just remember them again. And our children's home, everybody in charge there, house parents and all, this coming up week for our young people. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, it was a blessing to have my grandparents here this morning. That was totally unexpected. Didn't know they'd be here. What a blessing it was to have them here. And please remember Jim Jr. Daly as he gets ready to have surgery once his heel heals. And so just remember those things. All right. Not going to keep you long tonight, but it has been a good day. I enjoyed preaching on the man called Her this morning. And we mentioned her. We mentioned hers several times in that message this morning, but we appreciate what the message did for us in our study time and did this morning in church. But Mark chapter number 12, verse number 30, in just a moment. But first, behind every art picture is passion. Behind every drama is passion. Behind all great music is a passionate singer. Behind every great work done in ministry are passionate servants. Behind every great thing done that was done in the Bible by a patriarch or a matriarch was done so by passion. They were driven by this inside thing compelling them to do something great for God and to live your very best life now. Behind the great work of salvation, Jesus died passionately. The passion of Christ. And his passion to finish the Father's will was his driving force. What are you passionate about tonight? Nothing great in life is ever done without passion behind it. Passion makes the impossible possible. Passion gives a reason to get up in the morning. Without passion, life can be boring and monotonous. Life can get very routine and we can get worn down, can't we? We got to have passion. We got to have something we're excited about. We got to have some kind of vision before us. Without passion, life can be very routine and dull. I want you to notice here in Mark chapter number 12, in verse number 30, this verse tells us to love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Listen. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. In order to love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we've got to have passion in the driver's seat. Only when we love the Lord with everything that's within us, ministry will get built. Only when we're loving the Lord with everything in us, we will reach out to the lost. Only when we love the Lord with everything in us will we crawl back in that car and go back to work tomorrow, although you may not want to be there, or go to school or something like that, some kind of meeting or doctor's appointment. It's the love that we have for God, and when we love Him with everything within us, passion is driving us, and that's what can get us up in the morning. And that's what makes life worth the living, is having passion, passion for God and passion for His purpose and passion to be used by Him. We are to love God passionately, emotionally, truthfully. We are to love the Lord absolutely. We're to love the Lord with everything that's within us, and our minds and our hearts, with our strength, with our being. We are to serve and obey God passionately. We are to passionately trust God. Don't turn there, but in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." So that verse right there, it covers everything. Whatever you do at church, whatever you do at home, whatever you do at school, whatever you do, do it passionately. I think we see the results of people in the U.S. of A. doing things without passion. On the same token, we're seeing people in the USA doing things with the wrong kind of passion, aren't we? I mean, it's just passion that's good, and then there's passion that is bad, but we are to do everything we do as the people of God heartily, with all of our heart, as to the Lord and not to men. Young people, you go to school tomorrow. Don't go to school for your parents. Don't go to school for yourself, so to speak. Don't go to school for anyone. But yes, those things are right. But go to school for the Lord. Go to school and learn all you can learn heartily as unto the Lord. Yes, we go for our parents. Yes, we go for ourselves. But go with a heart full of God, trusting Him that He will keep you away from peer pressure. Trusting Him that He will keep you on the straight and narrow. He will keep you focused on your schoolwork, and just trusting in the Lord passionately. And so we are to, with all of our heart, do things and serve Him and live for Him. And so that verse, Colossians 3:23, it covers everything. It covers, like I said, in church, out of church, school, work, home, family, anything you can think of. Let passion drive us. Now, Jesus wants us all to do everything passionately. And when it comes to loving Him, serving Him, and living for Him, also everything in life, we are to do it just as that, with passion, with all of our heart. When we first trusted Jesus as Savior, passion ran high. Things were great. Over time, we can begin to lose steam and motivation, can't we? We can begin to lose steam and motivation over time if we're not careful. We can lose our zest if we're not careful. We can lose our enthusiasm through the years. Why does that happen? And this is the kicker of the message tonight. I'll tell you why we can lose our passion, our zest, and our enthusiasm. It's because there are things that can kill our passion. The Bible mentions several things that can kill our passion. And tonight, that's what I want to share for a few moments, is things that can hinder us. Things that can kill our passion. Things that rob us of the joys we have in our life and prevent us from loving and serving God with all of our heart. Things that can kill our passion, or passion killers. Five quick things. Number one, an unbalanced schedule can kill our passion. You say, what do you mean? meaning if you're either overworked or underworked, you can lose your passion for life and serving God. You say, where do you see that at in the Bible? Well, glad you asked. Psalm 127, if you would, for a moment. Psalm 127 and verse number 2. Listen to this. In verse number 2, the Bible says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. I tell you tonight, peace and rest and sleep is something we all need. And if we're not careful, we can have the type of schedule that is unbalanced. I mean, listen, we get up early, we go to work. Sometimes we have to stay up late. But if we're not careful, we can spend our time going and 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 working and working and working and working and working and struggling and struggling and struggling and struggling and worrying and worrying and worrying. That the Bible says, it is vain, empty for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. So the rising up early and the staying up late is connected to a type of sorrow here. Well, we get up early, we go to bed late at times, and sometimes it's because of work and school, we get up early, go to bed late. Sometimes it's because of sorrow, discouragement. Sometimes it's because of some problem. But he says it is vain to do that, to eat the bread of sorrows early in the morning, late at night, running yourself ragged, worrying and fretting. The Bible says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. In other words, whatever your schedule is like and how harsh it may be or demanding it may be, and the deadlines and responsibilities and things you're up against, and your emotions, your feelings, and all of those things. Listen, it's easy to lose sleep. It's easy to toss and tumble all night long and just say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and get up. And then we go all through the day, and then we toss and tumble at night, and we're meeting deadlines, and we're worrying and fretting about things, and we're trying to go to sleep, and before you know it, right when you go to sleep, it's time to get up. He says it's vain to do that. Work hard, trust God 100%, and like Charles Stanley says, leave all the consequences up to Him. Jesus gives His beloved sleep. I'm glad tonight that no matter what goes on in my life, and listen, I didn't get here overnight. I had to learn the very hard way. I've sat in on some therapy meetings through my years. Amen. I've had to be counseled in my time of ministry and life. Listen, and I fully understand that, but blessed be the day that I learned that everything is in God's control. And as long as I keep Him first and as long as I seek His face, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How about that? He's going to order my steps when I get up in the morning. Whatever happens tomorrow, He is picking my feet up like this. So I'm when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to go like this. I'm going to tell Kirsten and say, woo, good morning, Christy Lily. Good morning. The Lord is picking up my steps. I'm just going to go, I'm going to walk in Walmart morning like this. They're going to say, what kind of drugs is he on? Hey, how y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? He picks up our feet, our steps. He directs our paths. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so really, and realistically, we get this thing confused and more harder and difficult than it is. The only thing we have to do is trust in His word. Follow Him. We have to feed our spiritual man and all of these other things. God will use for our maturity. Listen, it's hard to go to sleep at night sometimes when things are weighing on you, isn't it? And I'm not saying there aren't nights that I don't struggle now. But if I do, I know better. But also know this, that there are times in life where God providentially allows adversity to hit the family on higher levels. Well, I've experienced this at one time in our life, and we wrestled through it, we got through it, so we have a type of peace and we have some experience. But then comes the new thing that you've never experienced, you've never been through, and you experience it as a family, and God brings you through it, and then you're allowed to use that experience for the next time. And so on and on we go. We're in school, we're learning. And Jesus is telling us, at the end of the day, one thing that can kill our passion is an unbalanced schedule. What I say to you tonight is the same thing I'm going to tell myself. When I go home, when you go home, relax, unwind, trust Jesus, enjoy your family, and go to sleep. And go to sleep. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. We all have inputs and outputs in life. Outputs is giving from ourselves. An output is we are putting out. Outputs is giving from ourselves. Inputs is giving to ourselves. You keep giving out and giving out and giving out and giving out and giving out. You'll be like my stinking leaf blower. I got that battery pack. I make sure they're both charged up. I've had it for about 5 or 6 years. It should have died 2 years ago completely. But I put that battery pack in there and I use it. And then it has one little dot lit up. It's 3 means it's fully charged, and it just... I'm barely getting the patio. I got to go all the way up the driveway and the sidewalks, and it dies on me. It's done. It's dead. We keep giving of ourselves and giving of ourselves, and we got to have some kind of input while we're putting out. Because if we don't, our passion can be smothered. Many pastors are quitting, walking away from the pulpit. Many Sunday school teachers and church members are leaving and doing all these things. And could it be because we have an unbalanced schedule? The Bible tells us that we ought to give first place to Jesus. Let him have the preeminence in our life. First place. And so we spend our time putting out in so many ways. We also put stuff in. Let me ask you, what are you putting in as you give out? What you're giving, and you're giving of yourself and giving of yourself. How do you replenish yourself? Don't say anything. Don't raise nothing. Just ask yourself that. What are you leaning on for strength? Is it Jesus? We know that's the ultimate thing we ought to lean on. But humanly speaking, tonight we lean on other things, don't we? We're putting out, and we want everything to go perfect. And when we see that it doesn't go perfect, we fall apart, or we can fall apart. And so we're putting out, and what we're wanting to put back in to keep us going is positive results. What happens when you put out, and there's negative results? How do you keep going when things look negative and all you're trying to do is be positive? I'll tell you how. Plug into Jesus. That's my long and my short answer. There's no trick tonight to it. There's no hidden revelations. It's all spelt out in God's Word. All of us who labor and are heavy laden, let us come unto Him, and He will give us rest. You got to go to God in prayer, church. I'm telling you. You have got to reach the end of yourself. I have got to reach the end of myself. I have got to input Christ in my life if I'm giving out so much. So we see that there is inputs and outputs. What are you putting in as you're giving out? Put more God in. Absorb more Jesus and you can serve longer. You can face that opposition at work longer. You can face that opposition at school longer. You can face that opposition in your family longer. While you input Jesus, you output Jesus. And so something that can kill our passion is an unbalanced schedule. Number two, a second thing that can kill our passion is an unresolved conflict. Conflict tonight, I don't even like to hear the word. Y'all like hearing that word, conflict? I don't even like hearing it. I'm already drained and I just said it. Conflict. I can't stand conflict. I try to avoid it all I can. But there's some times when you can't avoid it. You have to deal with it. And conflict drains the very life out of you. Especially unresolved issues. It will flatten out whatever passion you have in life. It's like air leaking from a tire. You look at it in the morning and it might be low. But you come out the next morning, it's flat. It just leaked. It leaked. And when we have unresolved issues and we have conflict where our peace leaks, our contentment leaks, it all is just a slow leak. The first time I ever learned, now I've heard about a tire plug, but the first time I ever seen it done was in my driveway about a month ago. My neighbor Joe came over. I said, I got to get to the shop to get a new tire. I said, can you help me out? You got air? He said, I got air and a tire plug. So he got that thing and he was scraping it. And he put it in there and he was hammering that thing in my tire. It just didn't look right. You know, hammering like a nail in my tire. I already had a nail in my tire. But it was different. It was different. And then he got down there to the bottom and he cut it off and it flattened out. And tap, 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 tap. And man, I mean, it was like brand new. I still went and got a new tire. Because we're getting ready to go to Florida. You know, don't want to go down there on a plug in my tire. It stopped the leak for the time being. But that was just a temporary fix. And you know, sometimes when we're approaching conflict and unresolved issues, it's like we got a tire plug in. It can only go so long, and it will slowly leak over time. Conflict can leak out our passion, enthusiasm for God in life. Our attitude just goes flat sometimes when conflict comes. Turn, if you would, for a moment to John 16:33. John 16:33. Listen to this. We have to deal with conflict one way or the other. And this is how I say do it. John 16:33. Jesus says this. He's getting ready to go to the cross and all those things. Or go back to heaven. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation or conflict, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have to deal with conflict. How do we deal with conflict? We first of all, we deal with conflict by understanding who conquered conflict. You ever thought about that? Jesus conquered conflict. You've got conflict? You've heard it all day. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He says in this verse, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What are these things that he spoke unto them? He spoke about his mission. He spoke about the Holy Spirit. He spoke about eternity. He spoke about forgiveness. He spoke for 3.5 years. He says, these things I have spoken unto you. And, of course, the contents in this verse, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He says, I have overcome conflict. I've overcome the world. He says, in me you will have peace. So many, and I'm not knocking, and I'm not ridiculing, but I'm just calling it like it is, and it's the truth. So many look in the bottle for peace during conflict, meaning alcohol bottle. You go down the road, and all you smell is pot. That's all you smell. And I have an inkling it's getting ready to be legal in Georgia before too long. I mean, people are bold about it. They smoke it because they want peace. Pills and drugs. What story was I listening to the other day? It was a girl, and somehow she had some kind of element she was battling with, and so she got on pain pills. And listen, I'm not knocking that. Pain pills have a place, just like antidepressants have a place, and nerve medicine. And listen, all those things have their place. But the doctors will tell you they are very addicting over long periods of time. It's for acute situations. The girl, she got put on pain pills, and she felt better, but she started to build a tolerance, and she needed more, and so she couldn't get them prescribed to the doctors. And so what did she do? She bumped into somebody that sold crystal meth. True story. And she'd get crystal meth all day long. She said she snorted it or smoked it, and immediately she knew she was in trouble. Every problem in her life was gone. No pain, physically or emotionally, but she says that first time she did crystal meth, she knew the devil had her. And I want to say that, listen, I'm not knocking. I'm not beating. I understand struggle. I'm certainly not saying it's okay to do those things. I am not. But what I'm saying is that only in Jesus you will find real peace. So the best thing I can say tonight is get addicted to Jesus. Get addicted. Ain't that what the disciples said? They addicted themselves to ministry. Let us get addicted to ministry tonight. Let us get addicted to reading God's word and being so amazed at how God speaks to us. And boy, I tell you what, one of the biggest blessings for me is getting a word from God, Brother Ceylon, and being able to share it. It's the most amazing thing ever. Whether I'm in church or whether I'm in Walmart, doesn't matter. It's just getting something from God and it's addicting. And so, yes, I'm an addict. I'm an addict to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when it comes to drugs, it alters the mind, right? And somebody said, I'm not addicted. I quit anytime I want to. No, you can't. And I'll tell you why. Because when there's drugs and alcohol involved, you develop a chemical addiction. There may be a handful of people that have been able to cold turkey quit. I don't tell you, it wasn't without a big price to pay. The same way drugs allow, it captivates your mind and you're dependent chemically upon it, is the same way we become addicted to Jesus. We ask Him to save us, and He comes in and He just permeates through our hearts and minds the essence of who He is. We see Him move. We see Him work. We love the peace He offers. We love the contentment He gives. And so if we're going to be addicted to anything tonight, let us be addicted to Christ. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation or conflict, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So my advice when it comes to unresolved conflict, go to the one who's conquered conflict. Go to Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Jesus, as the girl sang. There's a third thing that can kill our passion, or something particular that can kill our passion, and that is an unsupported lifestyle. When we don't surround ourselves with like-minded, passionate people, we can lose some passion. Listen to this. I wrote this afternoon. I love it. Don't surround yourself with grumps or chumps, but surround yourself with champs. Huh? I heard a man preach a sermon the other day called Don't Be a Grumpy Christian. And that, the simplicity of that, I loved it. Just the simplicity of that. Don't surround yourself with grumps or chumps, but surround yourself with champs. I love what Philemon, there's only one chapter there. You could turn there if you like. But Philemon, verse number 7. And we know that this is a letter that Paul is writing to Philemon because Onesimus evidently had done Philemon wrong and he left down a long broken road. He got saved. I feel like that Paul bumped into Philemon in jail. And Paul led him to the Lord, my own belief. And he penned this book, said, here, go back to Philemon and deliver this letter to him. Verse number 7, this is Philemon Paul's talking about. For we have great joy and consolation in our love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. He is speaking to the dearly beloved. He is speaking to a fellow laborer. He is speaking to Philemon. And he tells him that you are a refreshing brother, not a depressing brother. You already know where I'm going with that. Let us be refreshing Christians and not depressing Christians. Let us raise arms and not restrain them. Let us be a person like her or Aaron and lift up the arms of the weary. The Bible does say in Ecclesiastes that two are better than one. In another place, Ecclesiastes, he says a three-cord strand is not easily broken. It's not quickly broken. And so we see that if we are unsupported in our lifestyle, if we're not surrounding ourselves by like-minded people, then our passion can be crushed. Who is it that you put yourself around that when you leave, you're like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have went over there. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have talked to them about that. I know sometimes you have to. You can't avoid it. But there's just certain ones, church, that you really need to think about going around before you go around them. Listen, God wants you to be around people who edify you. God has not chosen you, a person, well, maybe in some cases, but God wants us to be edified. He don't want us to be a devil around other people. And he doesn't want us to be around devils. He wants us to be edified. He wants us to be encouraged. But if you hang around devils before too long, you might start acting like one. Put yourself around the people of God. And that way, when you come across a devil, you can handle it the much better. An unsupported lifestyle will kill your passion. But how about this? An unnourished spirit will kill your passion. We must intentionally feed our spirits. That Bible study time isn't going to just happen. That prayer time isn't going to just happen. Going to church isn't just going to work out. Doing the things we do that we serve the Lord in the different capacities and whatever it is we do that brings any kind of joy to us spiritually, it isn't going to just happen. We must nourish our spirits. Nourishment gives energy to keep pressing on. Malnourishment deprives energy to keep pressing on. And malnourishment, spiritual malnourishment, is a passion killer. Some people are committed for a little while, and then they're done. The first time the wind blows, they're done. Listen, church, that's not you and that's not me. after everything Jesus has done for us, let us plant our feet. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that said, where I read one time, find out where God wants you and plant your feet firmly and don't move. Listen, passion will drive us to complete what God has called us to do, but when we have a malnourishment of spirituality, it will kill that passion. It will kill it quick. That's why Jude says this. I'll just give it to you. Jude is also one chapter. Jude, verse number 20, says this, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 20, he says, but ye, you. Back in Jude's day, many crept in the church and they were spreading false doctrine. There was apostates and all of such, and they were having a great influence on the church. And he says, listen, with everything going on and that's contradictory to your spiritual life, you have got to build yourself up. You have got to not only know what you believe, but bless the Lord, you got to know why you believe what you believe. Do you know that tonight? It's not just good enough knowing what you believe. You got to know why you believe what you believe. Because I'll tell you what, when the storms come and the adversary starts to shake your soul and your confidence you have in Jesus, what are you going to do? Oh, I believe Jesus is with me. Yeah, I believe Jesus is with me too. But I got to know where that's at in the Bible, Brother Allen. I got to have that in my heart on paper, black and white. It doesn't do me any good to know, just know that he's with me. I got to go see it. I mean, I got to look at it. I got to put it in my heart. I got to refute the lies of Satan with the promises of God. The devil tells me that, oh, God don't care. I go to the scripture and says, yes, he does care. In fact, he says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. You see what I'm saying? Somebody may know that Jesus cares for them. Well, you need to know why Jesus cares for you. He cares for you because we're sinners, and God gave his only begotten son, and everything that you're concerned about, he's concerned about. Casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. We got to have a nourished spirit. We got to build ourselves up, he says, on your most holy faith. He wants us to advance in faith. He wants us to move forward in faith. And he's ultimately talking about the struggle against the apostates and those that are spreading false doctrine. He says, listen, you have got to study. You have got to pray. You've got to get close to God. You have got to advance in faith, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You know how you're going to get through the situation you're going through right now? You've got to advance in faith. It's time to mature in faith. We said this Wednesday night, and I said it the other couple Wednesday nights ago, I think, and actually got it. I told somebody I actually got it from, what's the man's name? The CEO. I was in the meeting with CCH of Must Ministries. Dr. Reinhardt. I love what he said. He says, there is a difference between trust and faith. And at first I was like, I'm listening, because they sound pretty close to me. He said, trust has everything to do with your past. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. He says, trust has everything to do with your past. Jesus has came through, supplied, and because of that, I can trust him now. And I'm believing him for the future. I've used Ceylon twice. I'm using three times. I trust Ceylon because of our past. He has supported me, been there for me, loved me. I have no reason to not trust him now. He was trustworthy then. He's trustworthy now. And he will forever be trustworthy until proven otherwise. We're talking about Jesus now. There is no proving otherwise. Jesus has been trustworthy. Jesus has provided because of what He has done. Therefore, I can trust Him now. And I have faith in Him that He will do the same thing in the future. Amen? He said that, and I was writing that down. That was so, I love that. And so we are to excel in faith, know that we can trust God because of what He's done in the past, but we can believe God for what He's going to do in the future. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves, nobody's going to build you up but you. If you're trying to put out what you get into 1 hour on Sunday or 2 hours on Sunday, 1 hour on Wednesday, you're going to burn out fast. Now, I'm not saying we're to walk around like a bunch of monks and nuns and go to a room and stay there for 24 hours, you know, getting along with God. If you can do that, praise the Lord, do that. But what I'm saying is just acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct thy paths. He shall direct our steps. What more can I say tonight? That's really all I have. We are to build ourselves up by trusting and believing in Almighty God. We are to advance in faith. The thing that's about to kill you is an opportunity to trust God in. The situation you feel that is bringing you down and will ultimately lead to your demise, it is an opportunity. I call it almost like a setup. I said that to Christy one time. I can't remember what it was. I think we were in the mountains the other week, came back the very next day. But I said it's almost a setup. I said, you know, sometimes it feels like God, I think it's a message I heard somewhere where that phrase was uttered, but I feel like sometimes that we are put in positions to just trust God and draw from our past experience with Him and allow that to propel us into the future by trusting Him. It's a setup. Not to knock us down, but to see us through and to build us up. We need to advance in faith. An undernourished spirit will kill passion. Let me mention one more thing and we'll be through. An unclear purpose will kill a person's passion. An unclear purpose. A clear purpose gives you reason to get up in the morning. Purpose allows you to see beyond, I love this, conflict. Purpose allows you to see beyond conflict because conflict show enough coming. We've all experienced it. We're going to go through it this week. There's going to be conflict in your life. While Jesus will get us through, on the same token, Jesus has a purpose for us, and knowing that will get you through. I'm not going to focus on this. I'm not going to allow it to bring me down. I'm not going to allow it to just devour me and knock me out of the race. God has a calling on my life, and I'm going to use that to pull me through. Tomorrow, the bottom may fall out, and the devil may be laughing in my face, and, oh, Lord, I you know what? I'm learning not to even say that because it seems like after I say it, it happens. Tomorrow might be a nightmare, but I remember that God has a purpose for me and my family, and I allow that to pull me through. I may walk in Walmart and more like this. I don't know where this comes from, y'all. It just rolls out. Might as well let it roll out, right? Pull it through. You've got a family that loves you. Jesus gave you. It's a terrible, no good, horrible, very bad day, but they're going to pull me through. Jesus is going to pull me through, but His purpose is going to pull me through. Jesus' purpose pulls us through. What do you have pulling you through? Do you know your purpose? When we don't know our purpose, it could kill any motivation that we have. We could be in one day, out the next. But if we know our purpose, if we have some kind of vision in front of us, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keepeth the law. That's how basically that verse goes. The word vision in Proverbs 29:18 has to do with the teaching of God's word. The Bible says back in, I believe it was the book of Judges, that there was no open vision. There was no open vision. And the word of God was not being preached, and it was very dark. And so the people, they didn't have a vision. They didn't have God's purpose laid out before them. They didn't have the preaching, the instruction, the principles, the promises. They didn't have that. And because of that, the people perished. But where there is a vision, where there is the teaching of God's word, where there is the preaching of God's word, where there is the principles and promises of God's word laid out, where there is direction. God wants us to go this way. Where there's direction, where there is vision, that will push us through. Everything may not be great tonight in your life and mine, but I feel like we have just enough vision to pull us through. Do you have a vision to pull yourself through tomorrow? Find out what God's purpose is. A revelation of God's word, a revealing of God's word, you will find God's purpose, and then happy you'll be when you walk in that purpose. He says again, where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he that keepeth the law. Unclear purposes are passion killers. Tonight, that's what I had on my heart I wanted to share, and it's just simply a very, very practical message. I feel like I'm practical at all my messages. I'm a practical person. I learn by simplicity. And so I hope and I pray that something was said tonight that was a help to you out of this practical lesson, practical message, things that can kill passion. Again, I remind you, behind every art picture is passion. Behind every drama presentation is passion. And I'll go a step further with a drama presentation. Any Hollywood movie that you like, any decent entertainment, has been driven by passion. What's your passion tonight? What's driving you? Let whatever is driving you drive you to the arms of Jesus and allow him to give you a heartburn for something great. And let passion drive you this week. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that we would just foster our passion. Anything that may hinder us from walking with you and serving you, being a blessing to others, being father, mother, grandparent, all those things, it has to go, Lord. You're the centerpiece in our life. Lord, we're putting out energy. We're putting out words. We're putting out strategies and plans, but we've got to plug in too. Help us don't plug into those things that perish. We're humans. You know that. We're but dust. So easily we go astray, but God, help us tonight decide to follow Jesus. Help us decide to take up our cross and follow you, and that there are sweet times of intimacy when we choose Jesus over anything else. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe you want to come tonight, start your week off the right way. Maybe you didn't come this morning. If you want to come, you can come. Would you please come? As we play softly and sing. Anybody? right. We appreciate that, Brother Randy. Appreciate you for coming tonight. And make sure you take a look at what's the term called? What's the name called? Operation Christmas Child. Check that out and be a blessing to some child. I thought you said earlier OCD. I said, yeah, sounds like home to me. Sounds like home to me. All right, remember that. Anything else to mention before we conclude? Everyone just have a great night. Be safe. Remember, you're your brother or sister's keeper. Let's hold somebody's arms up this week, okay? All right. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Be with us. Keep us safe. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for CCH. Thank you, God, for everybody here, those watching, that may be watching online and listening. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for the support. We love you. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts.